Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
It's good to see you all. I hope you're ready for today's message because I am. Those of you who were here last week, we started a new series out of Luke 11 where Jesus has asked by the disciples, teach us to pray. And last week, we started with the one phrase that Jesus said, pray like this, Father. And we spent the whole service breaking down what that word means. So if you have missed that message, please go and listen to it on the podcast because this one comes out of that. And then next week, I will be wrapping up this series. But it's a three-part series. And how did I come about this? I was trying to work on last week's message, and I just had this download, this blueprint download from God, that, and I had way too much information, and I'm like, God, how am I going to share this all in 35 minutes? And God, I really believe Holy Spirit said, break it into three different messages. So make sure you're here next week as well. Bring those friends and families along, but listen to the previous message. Amen. Good. Those of you that who weren't here, we basically focus on that profound statement or the profound request, Lord, teach us to pray, but where Jesus comes and does not begin with a method. He does not begin to answer the request of the disciples with a method or a formula or any kind of prayer request, prayer list, to-do list, but basically with this one revelation, which is one word, Father. The revelation being when you say Father, you are already acknowledging that you are His son or you are His daughter. Important for us to know that. We've learned also last week that prayer is not strangers trying to get God's attention. It's basically sons and daughters approaching a loving Father. That's what prayer is all about. Highlighting in that moment that before Jesus taught His disciples what to pray, He transformed the way they saw Him. He transformed the way they had the picture of Him, that He's a loving, good Father. Father. So this week I want to continue working through Luke 11 and discover that Jesus isn't simply teaching His disciples what to pray. He's actually revealing a progression that shapes the posture of every believer's heart. It's not just a list of, okay, this is how you pray, let's tick these boxes. No, no, no. It's a progression, and you'll see this progression as we continue this morning. But it's a progression that shapes the heart of His people. So I've titled this message this morning, Teach Us to Pray, The Surrender of the Kingdom. Teach us to pray the surrender of the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the first service. We thank You for what You did in the first service. We thank You for what You did last week, the revelation we had last week. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that You'll bring us new and fresh revelation this week. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Use what is on these notes to bring about revelation so that we get a newfound love for prayer. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's pick up this morning Luke 11 verse 2. If you've got your Bibles, please make sure you bring your Bibles along or even on your phones. 11 verse 2 says, Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Firstly, I've already said this, that everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Each phase basically builds on the previous one. We must never glance over the word and go, oh, well, that's not important and this is important. No, no, no. Every phase normally builds on the previous one. So in the sentence that we have up there, we cannot just skip over, hallowed be Your name. We cannot just pray, Father, let Your kingdom come. There is a phrase in between called, hallowed be Your name. And we need to pause and ask this very important question: why would Jesus include this after revealing the Father? And where do we go when we look at this as we do a word study? And I'm going to give you the Greek root word for hallowed. It is hagiazo, and it means to regard as holy, to honor as sacred, to set apart, to treat as holy. So what we are seeing here this morning is Jesus doesn't just teach us that there is a loving Father, but also that he is a holy Father. In other words, before God moves his hand, or before we ask him to move his hand and provide, we acknowledge he is not just a father, but he is a holy father. Before we present our agenda, our to-do list, our requests, we bow our hearts before his holiness, a true posture of prayer. It's important that it's a Father, let your kingdom come, hallowed be your name. Father, we bow before you. We posture our hearts before you in reverence, in awe, in worship. Now, this puts a spin on things, right? Because that there can really trigger old father wounds that we've been carrying all along. Because we are saying he is loving, yet he is also holy. How many times if we think of him being holy, we think that he is a very authoritative. He's can be very blunt. But that's not true. And this is where we have to renew our thinking. We have to renew our minds. So, JJ, how do we approach a father who is holy yet loving? I'm glad you asked because I've got an answer. Firstly, we approach him boldly because he's a loving, caring father. He's a father whose love is unconditional for you and I. John 3:16 says to us, "For God so loved the world," which includes you and I, "that he gave his one and only begotten son." So that love is unconditional. So we can approach him boldly as a young child would approach his father, his earthly father, boldly. Daddy, and daddy helps. Secondly, we come reverently, we come with awe, we come with honor, we come with humility, we come with respect. But we also come with an assurance he can and will move because he's loving. Are we getting this? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. He is loving and caring, but he is mighty and holy. Folks, if there is anybody that can do anything for you, it is God. He is God. Full stop. He is holy. Full stop. He is mighty. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He can do anything for you. Absolutely anything for you. So we approach him with boldness because he's loving, but we also approach him with awe and reverence because he is holy. You see, the one does not cancel out the other. The Father invites us into intimacy, but he never surrenders his majesty. He invites us into that intimacy. You know what, folks? He does not entertain our kingdoms. He does not entertain our thoughts. He does not entertain where we're at, but he invites us into his as sons and daughters. He invites us into his. He is Father, and he is also Almighty God. This is very significant to grasp this, to understand this, or even to just get a little bit of a revelation of this, because the next part of the progression that Jesus teaches us is your kingdom come. He says, pray like this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Before Jesus teaches us to bring our requests, he teaches us to surrender our rule, to lay it down at his feet. Before prayer becomes about provision, it's first about submission. before anything else, there's surrender and alignment. Surrender and alignment. And we have to ask ourselves this question: what is Jesus doing? He's inviting you and I, sons and daughters, to do what? To lay down our kingdom so that we can embrace His kingdom. Where? In every area of our lives. Every area. Our hearts, our thinking, our decisions, our relationships, our actions, our finances, our health, our family, our children, our marriage. In every area, He's inviting you as sons and daughters to lay down your kingdom, to lay down your desires, to lay down and embrace His kingdom. We need to see this. We need to understand this. Because prayer is surrender before it is strategy. Prayer is surrender before it is strategy. Your kingdom come. Surrender in your own. Your kingdom. This is God speaking. This is you and I going. Your kingdom come. Surrender and alignment. Surrender and alignment before anything else. Allow me to speak into surrender. What does surrender look like? Well, surrender is this. Surrender is when I recognize who God is. He's loving. He is God. He is Father. And then I honor Him. I posture my heart towards Him for who He is. He is holy. And then I am able to position myself to surrender my agenda to His. You see, it starts with me. I have to recognize first who He is, His Father. Then I need to honor Him. Hallowed be Your name. And then it's easier to posture yourself in a place where you surrender to Him. Folks, prayer is not simply about bringing our plans and needs before God. That's what we think it is. It's not. It's not. We have to see this. Prayer is about bringing our lives, the totality of our lives, our will, our wants, our desires, our checklists, everything, into submission and alignment with His plan. Your kingdom come is what? It is surrender before strategy. Surrender before strategy. And let me say this as well. Kingdom does not refer to a place called heaven. It's not the same. You see, the word Jesus uses for kingdom is basileia, which speaks of reign. It speaks of rule. It speaks of kingdom authority, kingly authority. So when Jesus teaches us to pray, He's effectively teaching us to say, Father, who is revered and holy and sacred, let Your rule be established here in my space and in my place. You are asking for His will of your life to be established. Your kingdom come. Surrender of our kingdom to the alignment of His kingdom. We have to lay it down first before we can receive. I always use this picture. If there's a kid and the kid's got all these gifts, all these presents in his hands, guess what? He cannot accept another one. He's got to lay this down before he can accept. We got all our kingdom, all our wants and our desires. Oh God, bless this, Lord, bless this. And he's saying, I've got something greater for you. I've got something more important for you. But for you to accept it, you need to lay this down. Basileia. The surrender of our kingdom to the alignment of His. Folks, it's no longer God bless my plans. We may have prayed that all along. JJ saying to him, not anymore. Not anymore.
It's that we pray, God, reveal your plans. Reveal your plans and let them manifest right here. He knows best. Just saying. You see, the longer I walk with God, the longer I'm in this God business, I realize that surrender is one of the greatest challenges of the Christian life. Most of us are happy for God to bless our plans, but we're not that enthusiastic about God replacing our plans. I think next year, we're not going to have faithfulness, we're going to have surrender. We can remind ourselves every now and again, surrender. We'll still pray about that. We'll still pray about that. A biblical example of Basileia is this, the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knew exactly what lay ahead. He knew the betrayal, the whipping, the nails, the cross, the pain, the weight of the world's sin upon him, that even death himself. Yet in that moment, he prayed, Father, look who he's praying to. Take note. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. Right there is a picture of surrender and alignment. Basileia. Nevertheless, not my will but your reign, rule, and authority be done. Luke 11, Jesus teaches us to pray. He gives us the prayer. Luke 22, the Garden of Gethsemane is the picture. Your kingdom come in Luke 11 looks like Luke 22, not my will but yours be done. Prayer is surrender before it is strategy. Is this helping? Now, I want you to see another thing about Luke 22. Prayer does not eliminate honesty. Fake it until you make it. Fake it until you make it. No. It does not remove honesty. You see, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he models honesty and rawness. He comes there. It says in the word that He has this burden, there's this seriousness about him. I think it's in Matthew where he talks about that even his sweat turned into blood. So he was honest in how he felt about it, but yet he still surrendered. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What is Jesus showing us between Luke 11 and Luke 22? Two things. Firstly, prayer gives us permission to be honest and real before a loving, caring Father. Secondly, it shows us that surrender and alignment should always be key of our prayer life. It's okay to be real. It's okay to ask. It's okay to be a son and a daughter. But still, surrender and alignment should always be in the prayer life. Every time we pray, your kingdom come, we are really praying, Father, let your will, your rule be here before mine does. That's priority. And another thing I want you to notice before we move on is that Jesus deliberately places surrender before provision in Luke 11. He doesn't say, give us, before he says, your kingdom. It's important to see. You see why? Because Jesus has got Father is more interested in shaping our hearts than simply meeting our needs. Your heart is more important to him than your needs. I've already said he is God. He's God Almighty. He can give you anything. He can give you that red Ferrari. He can give you that holiday home in the Maldives. He can. All those prayers that you've been praying. He can do that because he's the one that created earth. He's the one that at the word of let there be light, there was light. He can do it. But that's not what he's here for. He's here for this. He's here for the heart. He's far more interested in shaping your heart, my heart, than simply meeting our needs. Which brings me to the next major point. And that is, prayer is dependence before it is self-sufficiency. After Jesus reveals the Father, identity of the believer, His holiness, hallowed be your name, our submission, your kingdom come, then Jesus teaches His disciples to pray, give us each day our daily bread. He's shaping our hearts. This is why shaping our hearts is important, because once He has our hearts, guess what? Trusting Him for our daily bread becomes a natural response.
I wanted to say something else, but that's going to open a can of worms. Won't go down the road.
This line here, give us this each day our daily bread, would have jolted the disciples' memories. Would have taken them back to, be like deja vu, taken them back to the wilderness time. Because in Exodus 16, we read of this familiar story where Israel is in the wilderness, and every morning they were given the promise that they would wake up and find manna, which is like a bread-like food, waiting for them. So God provided food, yeah. And each morning, enough for the day. Not for the next day, not for the month, for that day. And they were instructed to gather just for that day. Now, you know, you'll get those sneaky ones that would gather more than just for the day. But they were warned. If they did that, they would find worms in the manna. So they could never gather more than just for that day. Why do you think God did this? He's God, right? He could put all the preservatives that He wanted in that bread-like food that would outlive the dinosaurs, basically. But He chose not to. So why did He do it? Well, He did it because He wanted to teach the Israelites dependence. Every morning, listen to what I'm saying, every morning they had to trust Him again for that day. They trusted Him yesterday. They had to trust Him again for that day. Tomorrow, they'd have to trust Him again for that day. The day after, again for that day. That's a word for some of us. You see, we want to trust God once, get it all done, sealed, signed, delivered, live happily ever after. It doesn't work like that. Sorry, let's pop that bubble right now. Doesn't work like that. Here is the proof. Right there. They had to trust Him again for their need for that day. Wow. Wow. Right there. That is a wow moment. That should be a revelation for us. Right there. You know what? I need to trust Him just for tomorrow. For today. Right now. Tomorrow for tomorrow. And this, for the disciples, this is taking them back to that same principle in the wilderness in Exodus 16, where Jesus says to them in Luke 11:3, give us each day our daily bread. Jesus is teaching prayer is not merely about provision. It's about learning to live in daily dependence upon a loving, caring Father. That's a word for us. Dependence. And that word daily is this unusual Greek word, epiousios, something like that. It's up there. You can try and pronounce it. But what's interesting about this word is it's only twice in the Bible. Only twice. It's used twice in the Bible. And the scholars say that they refer to it as being daily bread. But the idea here that we get in is it's not merely for today's lunch. Jesus isn't simply teaching us to pray for food. Jesus is teaching us a simple idea, plan, to depend on the Father for everything necessary to live the life He has called us to live. He wants us to live and be dependent upon Him for everything. Food for the body, Mercy for all our failures. Peace in the storm. Courage for obedience. The presence of His Almighty, His Almightiness. The presence for our journey. You know, the pillar by day and the fire by night. He wants us to be dependent on Him 24/7, 365. In other words, He wants us praying, Father, give me today everything that I need for today. Everything. And I think this is where the challenge lies with many of us, because we live in a culture obsessed with independence. We celebrate self-sufficiency. We admire people who appear strong enough to stand on their own. Well done. Well done, mate. Thanks, mate. We measure success by how little we need anyone else. That's not how God created us to be. We are to be family in one another's lives, but dependent upon Him constantly. Yet you see, the world operates different to God, how God operates. The world says, depend on yourself. Jesus says, depend on the Father. Give me today my daily bread. Each time I pray that, I acknowledge my need for Him. Each time I pray that, I acknowledge I am dependent upon Him. Can I suggest, I think one of the most powerful prayers that you and I can pray each morning is this: Father, I need you for today. Not tomorrow, for today. Not next year, for today. Not for next month, not today. Today. And here's a myth buster. Dependence is not weakness. In God's economy, dependence is sonship. Dependence is living as a son and daughter of the Most High God. You see, in the natural, dependence, we have a child and a daddy, and the dependence is the child going to the daddy and saying, Daddy, can you help me now, please? What does daddy do? Daddy helps him. As a son and a daughter in the spiritual, saying, Father, give me my daily bread, you are saying, Father, can you help me today, please? Here's the difference, though. In the natural, when the kids get older, they think they can become less dependent. I'm speaking to the young ones. Listen over here. Believe me, you need your parents. Just saying. But as a son and daughter of God, we have to realize the more mature we get, the longer we walk with Him, the more we need to realize just how much we need Him. How much we need the Father. This self-sufficiency is a lot of rubbish in the kingdom of God. It's not from God. And the great thing about this is this: as we learn to trust Him one day at a time, we discover that dependence is not something to be feared. Dependence is actually one of the greatest gifts prayer can give us. Remember, we said, your kingdom come. When you pray, your kingdom come, we're asking for His will to be established in our life, right? But after praying this, you can say, Lord, let your will be established in my life for today. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, establish your will, your kingdom in my life today. Because each day of His kingdom, plus His provision, leads to fulfilling His will for your life. Huh? How do I know if I'm fulfilling God's life? Let Him rule and reign in your life. Let Him provide one day at a time. And when you look back, you'll go, oh my goodness. How good is the God that we serve? He's a good, good Father. Folks, Jesus teaching His disciples that prayer
isn't just simply asking for provision. It's learning to live in daily dependence upon the Father, allowing His rule, His reign, and authority to permeate every fiber of your being. And then through you, others. That's what we're created to be. You're not created for yourself. You're created for others. You're not blessed for yourself. You're blessed for others. You don't get a word for yourself. You get a word for others. He wants us to be in that place. Daily dependence, allowing His rule and reign and authority to permeate every fiber, every nook, every cranny of our existence, so that we will be the ones that will change the lives of others. I conclude with this. Week 2. You have to see the progression. This progression. It's going to be on the board. See how each step builds on the previous one. Father, relationship, I know who I belong to. Holy, hallowed be your name. Reverence, I honor who He is. Your kingdom come, is surrender, I surrender to His will. Daily bread, dependence, I trust Him for my needs. So from relationship to reverence to surrender to dependence. Progression. Even that in itself is a lesson that we need to learn. But wait, there's more. Remember I said last week in my testimony that God changed me before He changed the things around me? But look at what we've just learned. Next slide. The Father changes my identity. Hallowed changes my vision of God. Your kingdom come changes my will. Daily bread changes my dependence. You see how I'm changed? Because I have to highlight, if you continue reading Luke 11, you see it's only after this, in that prayer model that Jesus gives to us, that He brings in forgiveness and spiritual warfare and deliverance. I'm changed first before I can change the world. Church, He wants to change you. He wants you to change because He needs you to change your community. He needs you to change Victoria. He needs you. He needs you. You are His instrument. I don't know about you, but this blows my mind. This completely blows my mind. This actually changes the way you pray. Because Jesus isn't simply giving us a list of prayer topics. He's giving us a model that transforms the heart of the disciple. Why? So that they can change the world around them. Each sentence, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, reshapes us. Look at this. Next slide, please. Each sentence in Luke 11 changes us. Reshapes us. Jesus teaches Father. What it reveals is relationship. What it produces is sons and daughters. Jesus teaches hallowed be your name. What it reveals is reverence. What it produces is worshipers. Jesus teaches your kingdom come. What it reveals is surrender. What it produces is surrendered disciples. Jesus teaches daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. What it reveals is dependence. And what it produces is dependent followers. This church of Jesus lacks dependent followers. I'm sorry, I'm sad to say. It lacks. Because as we pray,
we become sons and daughters who know the Father's heart. As we pray according to this model, we become worshipers who revere, who bow down, who lay our hearts before Him in a posture of worship, and we become worshipers. We become disciples who surrender our wills and align with His kingdom. As we pray, we become believers who depend on Him every single day. When Jesus taught us to pray, when the disciples said, "Jesus, teach us to pray," Jesus gave us a model in Luke 11 that isn't a pattern, just a pattern or a tick the box list for our prayers. It's actually a blueprint for our transformation. It's a blueprint for your transformation, my transformation. It's a blueprint. And that's my prayer. My prayer is that we will be transformed by the Word of God. That our lives will never be the same again. Amen. I think that's enough for today. We'll continue next week. Next week, I really sense that there's something that Jesus shares, teaches, which is very, very fascinating. I don't think I've seen it before. I haven't seen it in that context, which we'll break open next week. So if you know somebody who's missed this, please pass on the podcast. Also, if you haven't listened to last week's podcast, listen to that, because this next week is going to wrap this all together. It's really going to bring it all together.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.